than anyone else, they did a study where they looked at only the 22 largest debt buyers in New York City, only for a span of 2 years, and they found that over that period of time, those 22 companies extracted $1.1 billion of wealth from the poorest citizens in New York City. Nearly all of them lower income families, predominantly families of color. This debt buying system is a way for investors to literally get rich by keeping other people poor and in debt. So what we thought we could do, since you can buy this debt for pennies on the dollar, is that we would try to raise some money. And I thought, boy, maybe I could raise $5,000. If I raised $5,000, that would be enough to purchase and abolish $100,000 worth of debt. I just thought $100,000 is a lot of money. That's like, that was the scale of my imagination when I was first working on this. When Strike Debt formed and Strike Debt officially took on the project, everyone else was more ambitious. They said, oh, I think we can raise $50,000. Then we can abolish $1 million worth of debt, and $1 million is a lot of money. That'll get people excited. So on November 15th, 2012, exactly 1 year after the eviction from Zuccotti, we held what we called the People's Bailout. It was an amazing cultural event with rock stars and comedians and magic performances and speed lectures about how debt works. And we were completely blown away by, you know, the project really struck a chord. I think one of the lessons that we learned is that people are ready to find creative ways to resist debt. To date, we have raised a little more than $700,000. Now, we're not raising any more money. This is a temporary tactic. It doesn't actually solve the problem. It highlights how debt works. It shines a spotlight on the debt buying industry. It provides mutual aid for a relatively small number of people. We want to move beyond it. We call it the Rolling Jubilee because it's supposed to roll into larger tactics.
Stand by. That was supposed to be before I opened the mic. Thomas Skokie, co-founder of Rolling Jubilee and organizer for Strike Debt. Those are both eminently Googleable topics. If you want to learn more about it, you can also tune in next Monday at 6. Again, Jacqueline Hanna, a local co-op director, speaking at the Friday Farm this coming Friday on cooperatives. Thanks for listening. I didn't get those other two callers, but please call in anytime and take some time out of your day and support a different way of organizing media and funding it. It's really important we do have a successful run this spring. I know that we're also sibling station WLL is didn't tell us when they were going to do their drive, but they've started today as well. So I'm sure the labor hour's got an entertaining hour to go. And despite the fact they'll be pitching every so often, again, a call from Dave Johnson, who's up at a labor media conference, quite an intriguing idea in Chicagoland right now. Again, I don't know if it's is it Midwestern or is it a national conference?
National
Labor Media Conference. So,
if you had a Midwestern, there'd be about five people.
And you'd be there.
No.
Anyway, that was obviously Bill Gorell, who's going to rant a little later. I can tell. And thanks for listening. Help support WEFT. We're 5 minutes over, but we're sharing our time, I guess. The number down here is 359-9338. I guess I'll hang around and receive a call or two. Again, McChesney's books, Rick Rowley's Big Noise Films, Dispatches, compilations of their work through the last eight or nine years, including some Greg Palast and some quite interesting segments, a few of which have been aired in impartiality and on Democracy Now!. Some of the producers' work through Big Noise Films apparently came out of the Manhattan Media Project and the old firehouse that Amy Goodman grew out of and now has a real state-of-the-art facilities. Make it back to New York City. That's certainly one of the tourist highlights that I would have. Thanks again for listening. do support WEFT, Champaign-Urbana, listener-sponsored and volunteer-operated radio. Hello, folks, and welcome to the April 5th edition of the World Labor Hour here at WEFT Champaign and streaming on the internet at weft.org. The views and opinions expressed during this hour programming are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WEFT's manager,
board of directors, Prairie Air Incorporated, or the other associates. Just simply me and Bill saying what's on our mind. And we'll get David to call in halfway past the hour here. He's up at the Labor Notes Conference up in Chicago. And so that should be an interesting discussion with him. So I'm your host, Bob Pilesny, here with Bill Gorell. And I believe Bill has some underwriters for us.
I do, but first I want to shout out, using that hip contemporary term all the kids use, to people in Peoria who might be listening on, what is it, Wazoo?
W-A-Z-U? Yeah. I'll have to check. The last time I tuned in.
Why didn't we get those letters, man?
I don't know. Yeah.
They were probably available.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just know, at least the last time I looked at their schedule last week, and we were on there.
It's on their schedule, but the last time I tried to tune in right here in the studio during our broadcast, they were playing something else. So I don't know.
Okay. They just don't update their webpage that much.
Probably kind of like WEFT, although we got a new website. That is, what's up there is updated these days. So
it's a brand new. It has that new website smell to it.
It does. New website look and feel. Yeah,
yeah, I like that that logo with the record.
Yeah, that's the logo. That's the logo on our new T-shirt here for the Spring Pledge Drive. Yeah. So and as Bill brings that up, we are in our Spring Pledge Drive. Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice brown shirt, and you can get a T-shirt for any pledge for $65 or more. So
join WEFT, be a brown shirt.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, $40 is our basic membership, and you can take the air shifter training. You could come and join us on the Illinois World Labor Hour or give Paul a hand with the News from Neptune show or perhaps get your own show.
Yeah, and by the way, if you would be interested in participating in the World Labor Hour in any way at all, we would like to get beyond middle-aged white men.
Yeah,
as people running this show, because someday we might get old and die.
Yeah, yeah, too. We're all about diversity here on the station, and we are on this program too.
And beyond that, there's let's see, what is it? $65 level, Bob? Is
right.
there something there?
You get one premium.
That would be the T-shirt.
T-shirt, hat, or tote bag.
All right. That's cool. Yeah. And then there's, what, 90-10?
90.1, yeah, $90.10.
And what's happening there? Two things?
Two premiums, yes. Two gifts. Thank you gifts.
Then we have the $120 level with three. You can get the grand slam there.
Yeah.
And, the
and you can mix and match. You could get three T-shirts if you wanted.
Oh, you can do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. A small, medium, and a 4X large.
Okay. And then at the 150 level, now here's something I'm kind of confused about. Does that include the previous three?
I don't believe so.
Okay,
I think all you get is the neat long sleeve denim shirt.
That's right. Blue denim heavy duty stuff.
With an embroidered logo.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Like a small on the pocket or is it on the back?
Yeah, just above the pocket.
Oh,
yeah, nothing on the back. You know,
well, it looks pretty cool. I don't know what those fonts are, but it's got this kind of. Sort of a, maybe cartoony 50s looking font. I don't know. It says Listen Local in yellow and then the standard sort of WEFT
block.
Bold all caps.
Yeah.
Yes, block.
Yeah.
Underneath it. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there are some special premiums if you pledge during the public affairs programs. You may have heard Paul talking about them during the News from Neptune program. But If you pledge for $100 and made during this hour or during any other public affairs programs, you can receive a copy of the DVD, Dispatches 02, produced by Rick Raleigh and Jeremy Scahill. And this special offer lasts only as long as we have the DVDs on hand, so you can give us a call.
Look, right there. I don't know Raleigh, but Jeremy Scahill. Look how he started out. He basically stalked Amy Goodman to get a volunteer position on her show.
Yeah, because he had something he wanted to say to people.
That's right. He started working with her, and eventually he worked himself in. He didn't study journalism or anything.
Yeah,
that's just he learned how to do it right there as a volunteer.
That's what we are here.
So that's something that you want to think about. You can pay that $40 or more and become a member, get involved, volunteer, be the next Jeremy Scahill.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
So that's a special $100 level there. That's kind of in between all those other 90, 10, and 120, but you can get a copy of the DVDs. Or if you do pledge at $120 level during the public affairs programs, you can get a copy of Bob McChesney's books.
Oh, that yes, Bob McChesney. He's off the radio now. I had invited him to WEFT one time on the air during an interview, and
he was on. He did a phone interview with Dave and I here on the Labor Hour about 2 months ago, something like that.
Well,
3 months ago.
There was one time, and I asked him. I said, "Well, we could probably find a slot for you here."
Yeah,
you know. And he goes, "Oh, that's okay. I'm not doing any more radio."
You were here that weekend. Yeah, yeah. He said he was happy to get paid the same amount that we were getting paid, $0. So, but he's got two books out there: Dollarocracy and Digital Disconnect. Both of Professor McChesney's books that are available, and that's if you pledge $120. During public affairs programs.
But I'm looking at them right now, and they are hardcover books, which would probably run for, you can tell them. You can tell them. It's probably printed right on it, isn't it? Or I can tell them. You're handing them to me. Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
$26.99 U.S., and for our Canadian listeners, $30.
Wow.
That is for Dollarocracy. How the Money and Media Election Complex is Destroying America. And it's got a foreword by Bernie Sanders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and John Nichols is a co-author. And, and some people might recognize him from the Ed Show.
Yeah.
And the Wisconsin Statehouse occupations. What was that, a couple of years ago now?
Yeah, yeah, 2 years ago, 2 years in January, I think.
And then the other one is Digital Disconnect. How Capitalism is Turning the Internet Against Democracy, and that's a solo performance by Mr. McChesney. And Juliet B. Shore, well-known author, says it's a hard-to-put-down, meticulously researched must-read.
Must-read.
Yeah, that's my kind of blurb.
Yeah.
And it's got blurbs also from Gar Alperovitz, who you might have heard of.
Yeah.
Eric Alterman praises it. Bill Moyers.
Really?
Noam Chomsky.
There you go.
A rich and penetrating study advances considerably his pioneering work, a very significant contribution. And this book would set you back, where is it? I can't find it so far. $27.95.
Wow. So those are some really nice premiums there that you can get if you pledge at the $120 level. And I think Paul mentioned as well that Professor McChesney is going to be at the IMC on April 22nd, giving a speech there.
You can take your book and get it autographed, maybe.
No, Paul's already got it authorized that he will definitely autograph it.
He did that when the IMC first opened. When was that? In 2001? Or what? Yeah, 2000.
Uh-huh.
He did the same thing there. We used his books for premiums, and then he had a book signing at the old IMC in downtown Urbana.
Good.
So thank you, Dr. Robert McChesney, for what your help to us and your work in general.
He's a good man, you know. Starting right off, he's got a good name, Robert, you know.
Yeah, you know, the thing about bills, you get too many of them at the end of the month. You know how that
there
is.
You go. There you go.
And I've also, on jobs, been devalued from dollar bill to 10-cent bill. So.
Yeah.
That's just
217-359-9338, and you can go to weft.org and click on Support WEFT. We got a nice layout there. You can pay it all through PayPal. You can select your premiums right there. Not these books and not the DVDs. That's not offered on the website. You'd have to call here and during the public affairs program to get either the book or the dispatches DVDs.
Yeah, see, these things, they just kind of come in. On occasion, it can be difficult to get them into the flow of everything that's going on here.
Right, right. We just got the books last night.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard today. So,
well, Bob, should I perhaps read some underwriting? While we're
we
here?
Started out there a long time ago.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we did.
Sorry, folks. This will not be an entire pledge pitch show.
No.
We're going to get it out of the way now, and then Dave will call. We might have a little Jesse Ventura on unemployment coming up.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. Okay. This hour programming is brought to you in part by Central Illinois Jobs with Justice, a coalition of union and community groups working for economic justice and workers' rights. Central Illinois Jobs with Justice holds regular meetings on the third Saturday of every month. So that'll be a couple of weeks. And for more information or for the unemployed and underemployed helpline, call 217-328-2295. Yeah, and I'm sure that Jobs of Justice would like to have more members.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. If you want to volunteer, you can volunteer here or there.
Yeah. When Dave's here especially, you could call and get more information. He's heavily involved.
Right.
With
right.
it. The Illinois World Labor Hour is supported in part by listeners of WEFT and by the AFL-CIO of Champaign County. The AFL-CIO represents the interests of more than 7,000 workers in Champaign County and more than 13 million workers nationwide. Recognizing that strong workers build strong communities, the AFL-CIO is proud to support community radio in East Central Illinois. We're happy for their support, and we hope that someday we exceed the audience for Duck Dynasty when it comes to membership.
That would be sweet. Yeah. Yeah. That's a little bit of a challenge for us, though, Bill. But
unfortunately, that's America today, which you could probably read about. It's probably explained in one of Bob McChesney's books.
Right.
Okay. Then, programming on the World Labor Hour is supported in part by the listeners of WEFT and by the Illinois Education Association Union. The Illinois Education Association's mission is to effect right. excellence and equity in public education and to be the advocacy organization for all public education employees, emphasis by the writer of this announcement.
One of their goals is to provide us with a little bit of a tongue twister there every Saturday to effect excellence and equity in education. You know,
well, it's their
alliteration.
Teachers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
we need to step up and yeah. and learn how to speak correctly. Unfortunately, I'm not using all my natural teeth at this time. I have some that kind of move around a little more, but. That's a personal thing. However, I do have dental insurance, being in a union.
That's good.
Programming on the World Labor Hour is supported in part by the listeners of WEFT and Decatur attorney Bill Faber, who believes that the mission of the law is the safety of the people. Bill Faber proudly supports the World Labor Hour. And if you're over by Decatur on their cable system, Bill Faber has a local access show, I believe, right. related to labor issues, but I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be that hard to find. Finally, the Graduate Employees Organization Union, GEO, at the University of Urbana-Champaign strives to not only democratically represent graduate employees, but to give solidarity and support to other unions, organizations, and workers engaged in the struggle for social justice, both on and off the campus. The GEO is proud to support the World Labor Hour on WEFT Community Radio. That's all typed in bold print, folks. That's why I had to say it that way.
There you go.
Fortunately, it was not all caps.
Yeah, then you'd have to shout it.
But I really like looking here at what they're talking about. To give solidarity and support to other unions,
right,
organizations right. and workers engaged in the struggle, not just for workplace rights, not just for a raise, right. not just for better working conditions for themselves.
Not just on campus, but right. also off campus.
Correct. Social justice right. on and off the campus. Right. Thank you, GEO, and we yes. salute you along
yes,
with our
we
others.
Do. One of our favorites, the GEO.
And by the way, this afternoon, don't forget to tune in to Rock Geek.
Yeah.
One of the coolest radio shows in CU.
Yeah, there you go. How about if we do this little thing with Jesse Ventura before Dave calls in?
Okay, this is Jesse Ventura has a new, I guess it's a web thing called Off the Grid. And okay. this is from it.
And
on unemployment.
Unemployment. Thanks.
No, sorry, minimum wage. Raising the minimum wage caused a huge stir among your viewers. Some surprised by your stance, others very supportive. From Mike Silky on Facebook, want to earn more than minimum wage? Cultivate skills or educate yourself to be worthy of being paid more. The whole equal pay nonsense smells like socialism to me.
Well, it can smell like socialism all you want, Mike, But why should a guy pushing a pencil necessarily make more than a guy doing back-breaking work digging a ditch? I notice CEOs, they never sweat. They wear suits all day, ties, they go to lunch, and they get paid the big dough. I don't like the context of people thinking manual labor unskilled. You are skilled. I'll refer to my good friend Dick Cheney again. Anybody working 40 hours a week should not have to be subsidized in any way, shape, or form by the government. They should be able to earn a wage to live off of.
All right, from Johnny Riona on Twitter. Minimum wage should stay the same for kids under 18 and be raised for people over 18.
What difference does it make how old you are doing the job? If you're doing the same job as an adult, you should be paid the same as the adult for doing that same job. And the reason I'm hard on that is because when I went into the military, I was 18 years old. I couldn't even vote or drink a beer. I, as a child, could go die for my country, but I wasn't old enough to receive the benefits of being an adult back here. Isn't that child abuse, sending children to war?
From Jimmy Barry on Facebook, raising the minimum wage just makes the cost of living go up. Duh.
Well, yes, it does do that, but what about the survival of the people on minimum wage? Remember this, my friend. When those people at Walmart are earning minimum wage and they have to get food stamps, the food stamps come out of your check, not from the Waltons' check, not from those billionaires that own Walmart. They ain't paying for it. You are.
From Brian Tennant on Facebook, like raising the minimum wage has worked the last 22 times they have raised it. Eliminate the Federal Reserve. That will solve the problem.
I don't know if it'll solve the problem, but raising the minimum wage absolutely stimulates the economy because the people at minimum wage level spend the money. Believe it or not, spending money.
All right, we're going to pause Jesse Ventura there and go right to Dave calling in here. Hello, Dave.
Yes, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. I'm on the air?
Yeah, Dave. We're on the air with David Johnson. He's at the Labor Notes Conference up in the Chicago area.
Yes, indeed, Bob. I got here yesterday morning, and it's quite amazing. There's probably well over 1,000 labor activists here from all over the United States, as well as other countries. And there's just a lot of workshops up here. Met a lot of people that we've previously interviewed on the Labor Hour, including the one worker that we've interviewed from the IWW, a part of the Intermodal Railroad Workers Support Union.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to form. I guess they were successful, but he's been fired a second time for, actually videotaping massive OSHA safety violations.
So, right.
Anyway, they're going to basically, I guess that company is going to be having some more problems on their hands.
Yeah.
So, this guy is really incredible. I mean, he's quite an organizer. And there's other people, too. I met Ty Moore, the socialist alternative candidate who ran in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who just lost by about 100 votes, about 2% of the vote. Came out of a conference here with panelist speakers of various independent political candidates who ran in their respective cities around the country and won, including Lynn, Massachusetts, Richmond, California, and Kashama Sawant was one of the panelists. I just got through hearing her speak.
Excellent.
And, so anyway, yes, it's quite it's almost overwhelming. And anybody that could get a chance to go to one of these Labor Notes conferences in the future, I highly recommend it. They happen every 2 years in different cities throughout the United States. And they've been going on now for well over 30 years.
Dave, this is Bill. I'm very impressed. Actually, before you called, I made a kind of a smart comment about how few people would be at such a thing. And you say there's 1,000.
At least, around. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, this is a huge hotel. And, I mean, it's just the hallways are packed with people. And there's workshops. I mean, there's like any given time, there's probably, anywhere from 6 to 8 workshops going on in large conference rooms.
Excellent. And you say Kashama Sawant is there from Seattle, the socialist city councilman?
Yeah, she got through speaking and talked a little bit about how they actually, were able to do what they did, and talking about how, the people are basically hungry for change because, the Democratic Party nationwide has not been, doing what they're supposed to do as far as what they promised the voters, and that people are just ready for change, because she says, as you all know, everywhere around the country, she says, you know, working conditions and living standards are just, they're deteriorating as time goes on.
Hey, Dave, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because if anybody would happen to look for the U.S. Labor Party's website, what they will find is a dead website from the year 2006, I believe. Yeah. And what they will see there is the story of how they had signed up, I believe, got thousands of petition signatures to get on the ballot in South Carolina, which mm-hmm. you might think would be strange because it's a rather radical, you know, labor-oriented party. But they found that the people of South Carolina, when approached by something beyond the Democrats and the Republicans that were standing up for their interests, they signed on.
Yes. You know, that's interesting, Bill, because of all the electoral victories so far in the last couple of years in the various cities around the United States have all been in places where the Democratic Party was in virtual, well, in total control. That little incident, I think Adolph Reed was involved in that, by the way, and that was a real interesting, phenomenon in the sense it shows that this probably, you know, could happen in a place where it's Republican controlled as well.
Sure. Hey, Dave, is there anybody there from that county in Ohio that elected the 20 Labor Party people?
No, I was surprised that no one from them is here that I know of. I mean, they weren't on the panel where Kashama Sawant, the mayor of Richmond, California, and the other person from Lynn, Massachusetts was. And I was kind of a little disappointed because I was hoping they would be here. There might be, I mean, maybe one of them is here as just attending, but as far as speaking, no, I haven't seen them on a program anywhere.
Yeah, that was what, Lanier, Ohio, something like that?
Yes, right outside Cleveland.
Right, right. But you say folks are there from Richmond. We did a story about Richmond, California a week or so ago on Labor Hour.
Yes. It's interesting. I guess they're getting ready to have a city council election coming up. And Chevron Corporation has spent so far $20 million giving money away to various nonprofits and other kind of public, charity donations. And then they're spending an additional $5 million on actually supporting candidates to run against the current mayor and city council.
So if you hope...
we thought that $185,000 being spent against Carol Ammons in Champaign was a lot of money, but... I mean, that is just mind-boggling.
If you hold
the guy that was up here, you know, from Richmond, says that he doesn't think they're going to be able to do it. He said because they've got a very strong community base and that they're very confident that they're still going to be able to retain their majority on the council, which, by the way, is made up of a sort of a coalition. They've got their own kind of political action in Richmond, and it's comprised of Green Party, Progressive Democrats, and socialists and other non-affiliated independent voters.
Right. They had some kind of progressive alliance, like you say there. And it kind of shows that if you hold a corporation's feet to the fire, they start stepping up with, like you say, $20 million in donations to nonprofits.
Yes, and then $5 million directly to candidates that they've handpicked to run against the current mayor and city council. So we'll definitely have to see how that comes out, hopefully for the best.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, interesting. It's motivational up there, huh, Dave? You're coming away with a lot of great ideas and contacts.
You can tell by the tone of my voice.
Yeah, you're excited.
That's high energy up here. Yes, indeed.
I'm sure.
Well, Dave, could you give us some idea, just a few examples of any panels or trainings or other goings on there?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's various organizing workshops. There's. I'll just read you from what happened yesterday here. This morning there was a panel on healthcare bargaining in the age of Obamacare. There was various panels going back here. I got the book here. I'm just going back kind of recapping here. There's panels on legal rights of union stewards. How can cooperatives be a tool for unions to respond to economic crisis? Secrets of a successful organizer. Labor struggles in Latin America, beating apathy, fire up your union and social media. Craft your own. Costing a contract. and it goes on and on. I mean, there's a lot of it's a combination of very hands-on practical workshops as well as more I'd say informative workshops.
Well, were there any that were are kind of more directly media or media production related?
Well, actually, yes. In fact, later today at 4:15, I'm going to a labor radio workshop, and tomorrow there's going to be also another one here. I'm looking for it right now. I've got it marked here in my book. This is quite an extensive book, so that's why I'm kind of turning here. I'm still going through Saturdays. Give me a second here. There's one on what happened to VW.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay, I mentioned the labor radio. Labor and media is another one under sort of a panel that's going to be happening later this evening called Ask the Experts, quote unquote. But anyway, that's interesting is that there's a man here named Steve Zeltzer who was on Labor Hour before who has his own radio, labor radio and television program out in San Francisco Bay Area. And I guess at this labor and media one, him and myself and some other people that we've met up here with are going to actually be kind of raise a little bit of hell. Basically telling the people to attend this, you've got to get back and start pressuring your leadership to start putting some money and resources into a nationwide labor television program because it's long overdue.
Well,
long
Dave,
overdue.
We can't do that because we got to buy billboards, which are the – I think I see this. There's a billboard out by the laborers' hall now about the laborers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I just see billboards as not a very effective, means of communicating to people that well. I kind of see them as maybe the people running the local unions – kind of putting them up as a show,
Yeah.
Yes.
It's right off of 74 there, Bill?
Actually, it would be off of 45, right there at the intersection with Anthony Road and 45, across from the Farm and Fleet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I remember seeing an article in Mother Jones Magazine back in 1979, 1980, calling for why hasn't organized labor started their own nationwide newspaper, and oh, by the way, since we're coming into the era of cable television, why don't we get a channel on nationwide on the cable network? After all, evangelicals have gotten these nationwide channels. And you fast forward now here some 30 years or more, labor still doesn't have any kind of national television station, program, much less a station, any kind of national radio other than small radios. Labor radio programs scattered around the country like ours. And by the way, I'm going to be meeting up with some other people here today who have labor radio programs similar to ours from around the country. But nonetheless, I mean, all the money that, organized labor gives to the Democratic Party politicians, which oftentimes is a waste when they turn around and stab us in the back and sell us out. What they need to be doing is putting their money into both organizing other workers and getting the word out, because that's the most important part. Any army, if you want to use a military analogy, the first thing you try to do, is establish a communications base. And labor doesn't have that now. I mean, we can't get, there's no way you can get a fair shake in the corporate media. And as much as it's great that there's station programs like ours all over the country, it's just not reaching enough working people out there.
Hey, Dave, I was just thinking, with somebody like Zeltzer who's there and perhaps some other people, you could get together and discuss perhaps creating a national program that would go on Link and or Free Speech TV.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anybody there from Free Speech TV, please tell them, Tom Hartman's cool. Stephanie Miller, no, she's not Free Speech TV material.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with her, but
ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater.
Uh-huh.
But she turned Democrat, but she's not, she's kind of your mainstream Democrat. In fact, the other day, there's been a backlash against Edward Snowden I've seen lately, and she was kind of bashing Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yes, it's interesting you mention that because Steve Zeltzer actually has something up and running that he wants to get you know, various people involved into where they're going to actually do a live streaming of various locally labor-produced television programs that'd be streaming, like, you know, on the Internet. And that's definitely, I think, a first step, you know, because we could be waiting around forever for, you know, the leaders of organized labor to ever put up $1 for anything like this. So, yes, it's going to continue. The step forward is going to happen one way or another, and hopefully this step forward will also put some additional pressure on labor leaders as the word gets out amongst the rank and file members about, hey, look what's happening here with just these people using minimal resources.
Right.
Think what we could do if we took some of that money we gave to the Democratic politicians and put it into our own nationwide television program. As you said, Bill, Free Speech TV or Link TV would, of course, in my opinion, be the perfect networks to have that on.
Starts at the local level, at the grassroots level, and build from that point upwards.
Well, Dave, the free speech radio model was pretty good, where they basically anybody could produce a story, and now it's easy to get it to a central location, and they would pay, you know, they'd give you about 100, I think it was $150. But beyond that, here's another thing, too, and I'm going to do a little pitch here. Please, people, call 359-9338. That's 217-359-9338. Make a pledge. And beyond that, go to radioforall.net and make a donation to them. And maybe someday they can get enough money to have tvforall.net.
There you go.
That would be great. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, we're the only labor radio program other than up here in Chicago with Labor Express, and then one which I'm embarrassed to say I don't know the name of out of Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, Dave,
other than that, the only other labor program I know of is out in Pittsburgh, the Union Edge, and in the other direction, Kansas City, Missouri. And I'm going to be actually meeting the woman, Judith Ansel, who produces and hosts that program here later today.
I believe
don't forget Building Bridges in New York City, WBAI.
Who is?
Building Bridges.
Building Bridges, okay.
A long-time labor show.
That people need to call in and contribute whatever they possibly can to the World Labor Hour and WFT Radio so that we can keep independent non-corporate programs like ours and other great public affairs programs on WFT on the air.
Excellent. Yeah, I think there's a labor program in Houston, and as you mentioned, Steve Zeltzer's out there in the Bay Area. So there's a few around. People need to talk to their friends and spread the word about the good work that some of these independent radio stations are doing.
Because we have to do it because PBS says they can't do it because, for some reason, business is business, but labor is politics.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
They don't cover political things, do they?
No. PBS, it's supposed to be the public broadcasting system, but it's as corporatized as ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox. This is the sad reality of that. Maybe someday here in our lifetimes, we can see the day when we can make it again, some way, somehow, a real public broadcasting service where it's not dependent on any corporate funding whatsoever.
Well, I'd like to see
we're going to need programs like ours to get important stories out there and information.
Yes, and I'm hoping that this will bubble up. And again, it will be like when we were kids, Dave, when you watched any TV show, any movie, and there was almost always some kind of union or labor reference. I mean, I remember jokes, people, you'd see characters and they go, wow, you got dental? It's really weird. There's just not that kind of a, people don't think that way, or at least it's not being expressed by script writers lately.
Yeah, it's not being, I think that the latter is the fact is, and you see polls, and the fact is that, it's like in the 70th percentile of workers out there who would like to belong to a union, but who currently aren't. So we've got the United States, our current unionized workforce is under 10%. I mean, so there's definitely something wrong with this picture here. I mean, and this has got to change, and a lot amongst a lot of other things. So anyway, Bill and Bob, thanks for letting me call in and give this little report. Sure. I want to try to get back and actually go and speak one-on-one with Kashama Sawant here before she takes off.
Well, thanks for taking the time to call in, Dave. Yeah. I know you're probably
excited to get back into these things. Is this going on today and through tomorrow, or is it
and through tomorrow? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you still got time to get up to Chicago and attend the rest of this conference?
Yeah, I came up yesterday morning, and I'm spending the night up here. I spent last night, and I'm going to spend tonight, too. So otherwise, it wouldn't be work. It just starts too early and ends too late to try to commute. So,
but, anyway, I mean, for folks, for our listeners, for our listeners out there, they could still head up there. They could find a place to stay overnight, and they could still get all of this afternoon and this evening and all of tomorrow's.
Yes. Definitely. There's going to be sessions going on. It officially ends tomorrow. The last session ends at about 2:30 tomorrow.
Excellent. Dave, thanks again for calling in. We really appreciate it. And get back there and learn some more interesting stuff and spread the good word about World Labor Hour here and all the great things that you and Bill and people do around town here.
Yes, in fact, I've got already about half a dozen people lined up for future programs.
Excellent.
Take care, guys.
Okay, thanks, Dave. And that was host of the show, David Johnson, calling in from the Labor Notes Conference up in the Chicago area, happening this weekend. As he says, it happens every 2 years, I believe, and they move it around to different cities around the country. So it's a treat that it's right here local in Chicago. And
should we get champagne someday?
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, they had that one big radio conference.
The Grassroots Radio Conference was here at the IMC a year or so ago, year and a half ago. And that was, I went to that and attended that. That was inspirational as well. You see some amazing speakers and a lot of people out there who have a lot of the same ideas. Sometimes they've taken the ideas two or three steps further than we have, so you can learn a lot of times.
Well, besides that, we don't have one hotel maybe that's big enough, so maybe I've been to things like that, and it's just like, wow, especially when it's an airport hotel.
Yeah.
That's like the worst, that air, it's like a desert.
Yep.
You know,
barren hallways, and you just walk and go indoors.
I mean, it's nice having all the people there, but it's just, I don't know, it feels sterile. Claustrophobic to me.
Yeah. Good stuff. I'm sure Dave is learning a lot up there. It's inspirational. So how about if we get back into the last couple minutes here, that Jesse Ventura talk on minimum wage, right, Bill?
Yeah, that's true. And Jesse, I kind of bring this in because Jesse's he's somewhat, in a way, a man of the people. You might say he's a populist. He's somebody who working class people that we would like to reach might respond to, at least listen to. He, and in fact, back when he was governor of Minnesota, he wasn't too sweet to the unions that were working for him, but there was the death of one of the Hart brothers, I forget that, in wrestling. He fell, he was being lowered, and he fell and died, and Jesse Ventura did call for the professional wrestlers to join the Screen Actors Guild's stunt unit.
Mm. That would make sense, because that's what they are, basically, a stuntman. So, all right, here we go, the last couple minutes of this Jesse Ventura talk.
Is the fuel that keeps the economy growing and moving. That's why raising the minimum wage, every time they do it, the economy takes a spike to the good. If you spend the money, that means more jobs get created with the spending of that money.
From Joe Schmidt on Twitter: printing money like wildfire is killing the middle class in this country. We must return to the gold standard.
We're so far in debt now, I don't think there's enough gold on the planet to get us out of debt.
From Susan Knapp on Facebook: if minimum wage is raised, companies will raise their prices to make up for the increased labor cost. What sense does that make? We'll end up right back where we are saying the same thing.
If we raise the minimum wage from $7 to $10, Well, that means the CEOs will have to get a raise from $1 million a year to maybe $2 million a year. How dare the lowly employees in the bottom get a raise without the guys up on top getting one? Woe be that we would give the Walton family a pay cut. Gee, if that happened, where would their next bowl of Wheaties come from?
From Wendy Bush on Facebook, I like this one. We need to stop letting big corporations f*** over the little guy.
That's a great thought, but that's all it'll be as a thought. Big corporations are here to stay. They're always going to be something we deal with, and they have their good, too. They're not all bad. We're a country that is based upon capitalism with a certain amount of socialism built in, and I think everyone has to accept that. The two systems by themselves has been proven they can't survive. You saw what happened when they took the handcuffs off Wall Street and had pure capitalism back in 08. They robbed us blind. The government has to be there to put some type of regulations on it or the thieves will rob you to death. As always, keep sending in your questions and comments into my website. And remember, stay vigilant, America, and don't forget to vote.
There you go. Don't forget to vote. Take that from Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah. So. By the way, right there, we're talking about developing new media, especially maybe perhaps through the internet, you know, more visually oriented video type stuff. And Jesse's show Off the Grid is located on a website called www.ora.tv. And I just discovered this morning, and I don't know a lot about it, but there's some shows on here on this website. One's called Be Here Nowish, which is actually like a network level sitcom about two young women who go to Los Angeles. And then some other shows on here. One's called Daily Rehash, The Dweeb Cast, Larry King Now. Newsbreaker, Newsbreaker Espanol, Nyol, Off the Grid, Politicking with Larry King, Real Girls Kitchen, Wayward Nation, and I need to be real careful on this one, W.T. Fark, F-A-R-K. I don't know what these shows are about. They're obviously not radical political shows, but perhaps this might be somewhere to get something going or something like this.
And it this might is ORA.TV?
ORA.TV. I don't know. Let me click here, and if it doesn't take. Okay. Okay, they're oriented towards big personalities. participate at ORA. You are always a click away from being in the middle of the action. For example, right there, Jesse Ventura was responding to Facebook.
Yeah,
post. Tweet your questions, blah, blah, blah. Then they have advertised with them and so on and so forth. So
interesting.
Yeah, there doesn't appear to be like any kind of agenda here,
right,
is what I'm saying. It's kind of a motley crew of shows. And sorry, Jesse, you're not a total socialist communist revolutionary, but we will accept your moderate reformism.
There you go. Yeah.
But,
interesting. Yeah,
Jesse. He's getting up there, you know, really. But I don't know, just things like that. It's just, if we could just get more people that aren't perceived as elitist, intellectoid eggheads or something, that have already some sort of a following that they can build on, you know, I think it would really help. You know, it's not like I like celebrity stuff. I'm not into the big... the theory of history where you just look at the leaders or anything like that. But it does help to reach out.
Yeah.
It's either that, man, or we got to knock on doors. We have to talk to people some way.
Bill, you've been a big advocate of knocking on doors for a long time. And,
yeah.
It seemed to really help in the Carol Ammons campaign.
Yeah, I know. And that's the only time we ever do this. And this is one reason I kind of drop out because I keep repeating myself on these things. It's just that... The best persuasion has always been found to be interpersonal.
Yeah.
You know, then there's public speaking. Then there's more mediated communication. But you can say more in a few words and convert more, you know, not convert, but influence people much more than 1,000 TV commercials paid for by the Koch brothers and Carl Rove.
Speaking of getting out there and talking to people, meeting people, this is the first Saturday of the month. Isn't that the Aware people up in downtown Champaign?
That is correct. And, you know, there was another tactic that I really thought was cool that the Occupy group was doing here, and that was it's an alternative to this. Maybe you might even reach more people and be less annoying, perhaps. And that, because a lot of times people don't like you knocking on the door, and that was occupying an intersection and handing out information.
Right.
You know, that's a very good idea. You put something directly in somebody's hand.
And they moved from intersection to intersection.
That's right.
Each other, a couple of weeks or something, they'd be in Urbana one week, they'd be in Champaign another week, they'd be in a park somewhere in another week, and so you get a variety of people that way. It's reaching out to more people than just being at the same intersection or, you know, the same time on the same radio station that the same people are listening to. You know, it's a chance to really reach out and get exposed to more people in the community.
And another thing, too, was they just weren't on campus and they just weren't downtown.
Right.
They were out. They were through diverse neighborhoods in this community.
Right.
And I don't know why that thing fell apart. Maybe it was too university-related. But it's a good idea. And Aware, they basically have been doing that for...
They're dedicated people.
15 years.
I mean,
they started before Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I remember being out in the cold snow and blowing with like five people.
On North Prospect out there?
Yeah, when we started out on the exit ramp before we moved in front. For the hobby place, Slot and Wing. Yeah. What is it with the hobby people? Why are business
hobby
owners
lobby.
So... That guy, it's not there anymore, I don't think. There's a new thing there.
Right.
But, I don't want to get defamatory or anything, but that guy was just... I mean, I got into arguments with him. And I used to shop there. And then we have Hobby Lobby.
Right.
Besides building non-union, they're doing this stupid other thing to abuse their employees with the idiot health care stuff while their pension plans are invested in companies that produce the very birth control methods that they don't want to support at arm's length, mind you, with an insurance policy that they buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like, it reminds me, Henry Ford was famous for giving his people the raises.
Right.
But there's one thing that's not cited much, is that he sent people to their homes to see if he thought that they lived a good enough life to deserve it.
Really?
Yeah, sort of like he had his own little social workers or something running around checking out people. Like, I suppose if you're a single guy that was drunk when you're...
When your inspector came and checked on you,
you wouldn't get that big money, so you could buy a Model T.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, I did have a quick little news story here I wanted to mention because Dave brought up something about the VW thing down there in Chattanooga, and Mike Elk,
I've read his articles on it.
Yeah,
he's probably in Chicago, maybe.
Yeah, we should ask Dave about that. He had another article out this week in Working in These Times. Talking about emails show that Senator Corker's chief of staff coordinated with the network of anti-UAW union busters down there in Chattanooga. So evidently a TV station down there in Chattanooga, they've come across some leaked documents obtained, and that says that communications between the employees of two Tennessee Republicans, Senator Bob Corker and Governor Bill Haslam, and a network of prominent anti-union professionals during the United Auto Workers Union drive at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga earlier this year. So there's outside interference from people all the time going on that you maybe don't hear about.
Yeah, that's right, and that is one of the dangers of the Citizens United sort of thing, is that it would allow people to spend money on all kinds of stuff. I mean, even though that's specifically... I worry about referendums.
Political campaigns
is one of my worries.
Right.
Like, it could get to the point where companies could come in and use a referendum system and boatloads of money to get a lot of laws in their own favor.
Like you say, a drug company could come in and dump $1 billion or something like that into advertising for or against,
Well, I'll say they could go to Colorado and try and get pot illegalized again through
criminalized
some campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I wanted to bring something up, too, about two musicians very beloved to this show. One is Aunt Feeney. She seems to be doing all right.
Yeah.
She, you know, she has been, is a cancer survivor. I got her latest newsletter, and she's got one of her, I believe there are annual tours of Ireland coming up.
Which, oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be in 2 or 3 months. Maybe you could search for her name on the internet and get involved somehow.
Anne with A-N-N-E, right?
That's correct. And I believe, is it F-E-E-N-E? Well, you'll probably get it anyway.
F-E-E-N-E-Y.
Oh, gee, we have a CD with her name on it right here.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, there is Walter Trout.
Who
is right now is in dire straits.
He's still waiting on that liver transplant?
Right, and you can go just find WalterTrout.com. And
he was the headliner at last year.